This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, how do you calculate the common phrase, work smarter, not harder? Hey, it's Carm Capriato, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast, and I'm bringing you an episode all about getting lean in your shop. Are you tracking the steps it takes to do something simple like an oil change? Now, are your parts and supplies not only organized, but purposefully placed in areas for efficiency? I've got a great panel that discusses simple ways to get started with Lean Six Sigma. One simple change can save you time and money. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Shopware and Broadly, for providing this episode. You know, when you're working on cars, you want to be able to access your tools easily, you know, without hassle or clutter. The same goes for managing your shop. Eliminate the clutter of paper ROs with Shopware's digital shop management software. Talk to my friends at Shopware on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, what's one thing that top auto shops like Urban Auto Care have that sets them apart from the rest? Well, that would be hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Literally, you could have this too. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat. We're talking today about lean. And that's not about lean steak or, you know, rare steak. What's lean? It is truly a management principle that has been around for a long time on making you more efficient and productive, and has a lot to do with Six Sigma. Kareem Morsley is with me, and so is Christy Hudson. Christy Hudson's from Troy Auto Care in Troy, Michigan, and her husband Donnie. They run this fabulous company of 90 some employees. Christy, I don't know where you guys find the time to just spend time together, because I know Donnie travels everywhere to BDG groups and stuff. You guys are an amazing couple, and thanks for being here, because I know you have worked on implementing Lean. And Kareem Morsley from Winkler Automotive Service, Gaithiers, Maryland, you were on for like an 8-minute segment about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you just teased us about Lean. And so he's back, and we're going to do this in-depth Town Hall Academy on Lean. Just before we got on, we were in the green room, and Christy and Kareem, they just connected like a lightning bolt when Kareem showed up his walking chart, if you will, on just simply making an oil change lean. Let's teach our industry how effective thinking about how we perform more efficiently. A great friend of mine, I've been to his place, and he said, Carm, we adopted this, and I want to show you. Come on in the shop. I want to show you where the battery chargers are. And the battery chargers happen to be where they would normally charge a battery when the vehicle comes in, and that would be in the most critical bays, not in the back room. Because what would they do? Back and forth and back and forth. And so that's the concept. If you could put that in your mind, then I think you're going to really appreciate what we're talking about here. So, Kareem, let's start.
Christy, sounds like you have such a huge organization, by the way. I would imagine doing lead on a scale of your operation would be so gratifying, right? We think it's a given. We think it's, oh, I'm sure we're lean. And until you actually go through the motions, you realize that you are far from lean on so many levels. Quick definition of what lean is, and mentioned Lean Six Sigma in the past, and you probably heard it. And what I'd like to say is, it's really hard to do lean unless you have your Six Sigma in the bag. And what I mean by Six Sigma is kind of like your standard operating procedures in your organization. How are you going to handle, let's say, an oil change? We're talking about oil changes today. So what are you going to do? Well, what are the steps of doing an oil change? Okay, so you're concerned with that. And the reason you do that is to ensure consistent quality outcome and results, you know, whether Joe or Dave or Mo is doing an oil change in your organization. The outcome should be the same for any customer. And so that's what the SOP is really for, standard operating procedure. And then you got to start thinking about, okay, great. You can have an SOP. It doesn't necessarily define the physicality of how you're going to do that process in your shop. And the reason being is that you could have things strewn all over the place, and it could be an inefficient standard operating procedure versus an efficient one. And it could take you twice as long as it should actually take you. And when you multiply that by the number of times you're doing this, then you start having, you know, a lot of inefficiencies in your operations. So that's how we're going about it in our shop. We're really taking a hard look at the categories of jobs that we do. And of those, you know, which are the biggest ones, because they're the most repetitive and they're the ones that usually will take you a lot of time. And so obviously oil change always makes it to the top of our list.
I agree with you, Kareem. And the oil change is how I got started going lean in the shop. I had done a Vin Waterhouse class, and he's a wonderful man. And we did a section on saving 3 minutes a day. And if you do the math, it adds up to hours and days. And I said, well, 3 minutes a day, how can we cut that out? And I realized my oil filters were in the front of my shop. My oil change bay is in the back. I said, well, why don't I swap where my brakes are and my filters so they're on the right end of the shop? And then it started, and I didn't realize what I was doing. Then I started to learn about lean, and I got my guys involved. So now our oil changes are flawless. All the oil filter wrenches are on a board directly above the filters. Everything's right where it should be. My team has gotten to the point where they come to me and I just let them go. But it's so easy to start. People hear it and they think, oh, that's intimidating. It's so hard to do. And it's really not. It's worth all the time and the money that you're saving. You're not making money on an oil change to begin with. So why waste even more time doing it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly how we're seeing it too. And what I love about this is when we started this, my senior tech, which I thought would be the one who may show more resistance because he's been doing this for 30 plus years in the same shop, actually embraced it, taking this very seriously and sitting down at the board and filling in his spaghettis. And I'll go over this if you want. But
let's do that, Kareem, before we get too far in and what's spaghetti? Let me see. Fettuccine? Is it angel hair? I think let's clarify this by at least you putting up the spaghetti chart and letting our viewers see that. And if you're listening through audio, you may want to get to the website or my YouTube channel and take a look at some of these pictures that Kareem is putting up.
The preliminary, right? So you always want to start with the representation, a graphical representation of where your operation is taking place. So in our case, it's going to be our shop. So we get a plan view. I'm fortunate enough that I know how to use some software out there, SketchUp. So this is to scale. So, you know, this is our floor, and the bottom gray is the toolboxes. The bottom of the page is the bay, and the top is, you know, our storage area where we put everything else. So what I've asked is each one of my techs to take some time to do a spaghetti diagram. And what a spaghetti diagram is really basically tracing every single step of the operation that you do. Try to put the number, so step number one, step number two, and also try to put the time it takes you to do that step. Okay, so this is what we end up with. Okay, so this is the spaghetti diagram of an oil change. And you can see how my senior tech in green, let's just say that if he had a goal to do 10,000 steps in a day, he'd break it every single day. And it's not necessarily what we want. But anyways, this is a great starting point because it's creating that self-awareness. What am I doing? And when they started doing that, they realized, I said, oh my God, I had no idea I was doing that. That looks very silly. and the same thing with me. I said, oh, I can't imagine. I can't believe I'm having you guys walk that much. That's very silly.
What an overview that it takes. And did the entire team get on board?
Yes, they did. And it was very gratifying to see that from the most senior tech to, you know, the most junior tech, obviously, in our GS. They all knew that they have a part to play in that. And if we're going to be more efficient, we're going to be more productive, we're going to do... The idea is to do as much as you can within a given amount of time without killing yourself.
I've actually seen Vin's class on his saving 3 minutes, right? And I can't imagine, Kareem, what you guys may have saved in the time to actually get the job done.
Right. So at this point, literally, this is a work in progress right now as we speak. And we're implementing the solution, you know, starting next week. We're probably going to save in the order of 3 to 5 minutes.
It's
and
huge.
We do it with 2,000 oil changes. So, you know, you do the math. You know, that's considerable time.
By the end of the week, you have time to do more.
we have time to do more. We have time to also add on the other jobs. Like we have preventive maintenance, which is our second biggest category of jobs. And that's a little bit more challenging because, you know, we've got brake fluid changes, we've got coolant changes, we've got, you know, different fluids. And so now it becomes more of a, okay, how do we position everything? And everything's going to be pretty much built around the oil change because the oil change is the cornerstone.
Walk us through that video.
Yeah, so this is my senior tech literally taking time to sit down in our break room.
He's looking at step by step here, Kareem.
So he's basically mapping. You see, he wrote it down. He actually wrote what I'm doing, and he's actually writing it down on the diagram, you know, and what he's doing each step. And then, you know, he's taking the time to do it. And to me, that what's more important, if anything, is the discipline that he's willing to put himself through to do this correctly. That's a lead, a leadership thing here too, because he's the senior tech in the shop. Mm-hmm. And I think the others seeing that respect that a lot more.
Christy, did your troops rally around this?
So yes, it's not an easy thing to just roll out. You don't just decide one day you're going to do it and it's fixed. It's a ever-changing process, which once you start it, you're always updating it because things change. So we have the three shops, so it's hard to roll things out at all three of them all at once. My location is the most advanced when it comes to lean, but I'm there every day, and my team is fully on board. So now we're implementing things in the other shops. Some of the technicians don't necessarily realize what I'm doing in the beginning, but that's okay because they see that it makes their job easier. And that's how I get the buy-in from them. Some techs, they don't see the end result as easily, but then when they see, hey, my job keeps getting easier and easier, then we get the buy-in and they want to help out and be part of it. Yeah, it's definitely a big game changer. It makes things run so much smoother. And one of the biggest points for the guys is there's no stress back there. They're not running around looking for that tool or who had that tester last, where's the scanner? They know right where it is. So it holds everyone accountable.
And you said something very important, Christy, which is this is an ongoing thing. Like this is just a starting point. What I showed and shared with everybody here, Karm, is just a starting point. But you know, you're going to improve on it continuously. And more importantly, I think you got to be very careful to train any new employee how you do these things. You know, we have new employees that come in all the time. Unfortunately, that's the name of our business, but you don't want that to be a disruption to your operations. And so we talk about onboarding. That should be a huge part of your onboarding, which is before you even do an oil change in the shop, you're going to see how we run an oil change. And then you're going to have to basically graduate on the process.
Hey, Karm here, and coming up, find out how to use data to calculate where you should focus on implementing lean. As much as you love the shop routine you have now, I'll tell you that switching to a cloud-based shop management system will pay off in more ways than you can imagine. Not only will you let go of bad habits that cost you money, you'll free up more time for your techs to fix more cars. Your quotes will be quicker and more accurate, and you'll make more money per part than you ever did before. Hey, we all know time is money, and when you streamline your day, you waste less time on repetitive brain drains. Start fresh by going to your favorite browser and looking up GetShopware.com, and the orange Book a Demo button will set you on a journey for more profit and less stress. You'll never look back on the web at GetShopware.com. Do you lie awake at night wondering why your competitors have hundreds of five-star reviews, but you only have a few? What's one thing that top auto shops like Urban Auto Care have that sets them apart from the rest? Well, it's hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Literally, you could have this too. When do you ask for a review? Well, there's actually an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. According to Broadly, the best time to ask for a review is immediately after a service. They know. Think about it. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied their needs for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Rest easy with Broadly, which gets you more online reviews and more people coming into your shop. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat to start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Lean is the process of creating leaner SOPs. Once you figure out that we're going to move steps out of the way and move product tools around, is an example, make them more accessible, then you probably write the new SOP around it, and then you teach from there. So the new person who's coming in doesn't really realize it, but he's kind of integrating himself into an already lean SOP.
Right. Yeah. What I love about lean is you can marry that with video. And so your video is actually showing how you're doing that operation, which is the lean part.
Just a great idea. Once you got it down, then you can actually, like someone would have a camera on their forehead, right? And they would actually do the job based on the SOP, and they would see how easy it is to move my hand and reach over for that oil change wrench, right, Christy, and come over here. And there was no movement. It was just, we didn't walk anywhere. We just used our hand. I mean,
you're on track. We do a lot of pictures too. So
yeah.
Here's a picture of what it should look like. It doesn't matter what time of day you go into the shop. Morning, midday, end of the day, all that stuff should always be in the same spot. It should always look just like that.
So Kareem is doing, it seems, the oil change. Christy, how many other processes have you done this to?
Well, it's a work in progress. We started with, you know, you want to do your most repetitive jobs. So I'm in a 20 group with Vin Waterhouse too. So we're always updating that, our top 15 most repetitive, which is different for every shop. So some of the things I do are like vehicle inspections. That's an easy one. Their tablet should be attached to their box. We do it with a lot of our stuff. I do a lot of brakes. I'm one of the shops that I believe in having a large quantity of stock because I don't want to wait. I want to get that job sold and out the door. Anything that is coming back for work, it's pre-ordered. All the parts are separated. When that comes in, the parts are on the cart. They get pushed right to the workstation with the work order. So the guy never leaves his bay. Here's all your parts from your service advisor. The oil change was our first one with, you know, our filters and our batteries and all our preventative maintenance. After that, we've just kind of been, we haven't focused on a single job, just the initial setup of the shop. But even that can change. I just got a new tech there. And we had to move their bays around because he's a stronger tech, so he's going to do bigger jobs. I don't want him in the back by my oil change techs. That's silly for him. He's not going to do oil changes. So even just reorganizing, you know, we've tried, but not everything works either. We tried a couple things, looked great on paper in our heads. We realized we saved a little time, but not enough.
Side question, Christy. You said you stock a lot of brakes. What do you think your coverage is based on your marketplace? 80%?
Probably about 75% right now.
So about 7 out of 10 cars, you're going to go to the shelf and they're going to be there. Do you complement that with rotors or not?
Yes.
Ah, so you must have a heck of an inventory.
I do.
You know, I guess if you can do one more brake job a day because you've saved yourself 20 minutes to a half hour, even though someone, it takes only 20 minutes for the parts store to get here, well, add that up per brake job, right? I mean, that's how you think about lean.
But with that, I'm constantly updating my inventory too. So every few months, you know, my salesperson will come in, I'll have them run reports, see what am I buying? Because if you're stocking the wrong stuff, you're just wasting money. And that's his job. He's my salesperson, so he takes care of me.
Brilliant. It's exactly what should be happening, especially if you're trying to become as efficient as Lean will teach you. And in fact, Kareem and Christy, I can imagine that when you start doing this, you just probably can't sleep at night. Oh, I got to do the next one, and I got to do the next one. Your team's on board. You're looking at how it's affecting the positivity of the business, the quality of the jobs. The efficiency, I mean, you know, you're booking so many hours, you're getting it done in half the time because you're efficient, you're lean.
I don't know if it's true with Kareem, but I tend to get into stuff like this. Lean follows me home. So even when I'm home, I am constantly increasing. I don't have a lot of time at home. So when I'm there, I need to use good use of it. So right. Even in the morning when I get up, I have a whole routine that I've cut steps out of just to make coffee and let my dogs out.
That is so lean. True. But
if people think about it, they're like, well, I moved the sugar closer to the coffee pot so I don't have to move.
It's very true. It is so true. I am like this too. And I actually use something that I tell everybody that comes along my, you know, my path is I say, think of what I call the critical path. The critical path is what is the most important path you need to go from point A to point B. If you change anything on that path, then you're gonna change the outcome in terms of the time it takes, how long it takes, and potentially the quality. Everything else is a side thing. But the critical path is what you need to always bear in mind, right? How do you make that as efficient as possible? That's by thinking about what's called the critical path. And if somebody looks it up, they'll find exactly what I'm talking about. It's part of the thinking of being lean and being, you know, in your case, Christy, you know, your break inventory, I'm going to have to circle back to you on that because I find that absolutely daring. And I want to know more because we you guys do all mix and models too, or?
Yes. So okay, my shop, so my main shop is actually about two blocks away from a motor mall, which consists of about 20 different dealers. Yeah. If I want those jobs, I got to have the parts.
But it's interesting again, you know, because lean is also about being just in time, right? So having everything you need, but not too much of it so that you can right. do just that job. And as soon as you use that inventory, replenish and get the next one ready for it. But that's great in a manufacturing environment for us, especially who doing all makes and models. That makes it all the more challenging to try to do that because if we were going to do that stock for every single car that we may have coming in, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of stale stock.
Yeah, that 25% I don't have is a lot of my European models mm-hmm. and that it's too hard to guess.
Yeah.
Because 1 month it's going to be all one brand, and the next month it's going to be something else.
It's a tough game. It's and you tie up a lot of money too. So mm-hmm. you know, it's a give and take at the end. Because if you can make more brakes jobs, that's great too.
So one of the things that we do here on the podcast is we do a virtual shop tour every Tuesday. We actually had a shop tour of yours, right, Christy?
Yes, we did. That's how we got on this conversation.
That's right. That was episode 72, Aftermarket Weekly 72. And Kareem came on in episode 89. And not only did we see a tour of your place, but you also brought your high-level lean think to the show. And then all of a sudden, boy, they had to come on and we had to do something more in-depth. And we had to see the spaghetti. I mean, we had to see that.
Yeah, spaghetti diagram, fettuccine, linguine, whatever you taste is.
Yeah, however you guys want to work it. Kareem, you were saying, Carmen, it starts with the data. How important is, and where do you get data from? Do you look at how many oil changes you're doing?
I can share a screen with you right now, and I'll show you exactly what I mean. We're on Techmetric, so we use Techmetric for that, and I can pull in any given, you know, time horizon, how many jobs you've done, and I can do a very quick graph. So right now you're looking at the types of jobs you're doing, preventive maintenance, oil changes, diagnostics, and brakes are really big for us. Looking at how many hours it takes us to do it. Again, preventive maintenance, brakes, diagnostics. So you're able to look at this from all these standpoints, stocks, how much of it do we actually stock? Oil change is huge, and that's the dollar amount right now. So looking at what's more profitable for us to do. If they're very profitable and you're doing it in high volume, can you squeeze more out of them and do more of these jobs? And then, you know, we basically try to, what should we focus on? You know, we start at the back of the shop. What are we good at? You know, what should we become good at? Because that's another opportunity for you to say, you know what, we're not very good at that, but could it be because of how we're doing things in the shop? And if you do realize that it is, then make some changes there. And lo and behold, you can maybe able to do more of these jobs and you can, you know, you can market that. You know, what should we optimize for? So that's the team. That's all the questioning that needs to happen based in data. And data is important because if you don't have the data, it's really hard to get the buy-in. That's my take. And whenever I show my team data in 5-6 years I've taken this over the shop, that is how I've gotten major changes done in the shop, by showing them data. Because a lot of, you know, the majority of our you know, teammates, unfortunately, don't see that data, and they go with impressions. Oh, I know we do X number of that, this. And then I said, well, actually not so. Check it out. And they're like, what? No way. I said, yes, because we catalog everything here. So data is important. It's a starting point.
You think you know until you really know.
So yeah. What we did with my employees is I gave them all a sheet and I said, list the top 15 most repetitive activities. I had them each do it. And then I had them guess how many times we did it a week, how much time it took to do each one. And then we compared them with not only each other, but the actual numbers. And then just like Kareem was saying, some of them were like, when they saw the real numbers, they said, oh, I didn't realize. I didn't count that as a job. A battery. Oh, that's a job? Wipers? Yeah. You know, just silly things. So,
yeah.
But
yeah.
To see all their different perspectives, because yeah. They all have different areas that they work on.
That's a very good point too. Yeah. I think on my end, I felt like we didn't have that much the luxury of time. Yeah. And so I wanted to kind of speed the process up, but they already have their preconceived notions of what we're very good at. It's very interesting. A lot of it sticks and a lot of it is like, nope, it's not. So one thing I will add and it stumped every one of my guys is when you do the spaghetti diagram, don't forget, I always say a job is a pre, during, and post. And a lot of the guys forget the post, mm-hmm. i.e., if you take a piece of equipment, you got to put it back. You got to clean it down and get it ready for the next guy. You know, all these things, you know, if you took out the last filter, make sure we have a mechanism for that. Make sure it's that we know that it's out so that we can reconcile what we have in the computer with the physical, because sometimes they don't match, right? And so little things like that, but they don't think that, oh, it's part of the job. It is part of the job. It's very, very much part of the job. And the post is just as important as the pre.
Is that going to be a big part of implementing new SOPs? At the end of the day, you look around, you say, my God, it looks like we took every tool out. You know, it's everything's scattered and laying everywhere. It looks disheveled and unorganized. Is that going to be a very big part of your SOP? Is tuck back up?
Yeah, I think, you know, we teach kids the song clean up, clean up, everybody clean up. So this is because that's the best way to do things, right? And hopefully if you got a good tech, he doesn't clean up just at the end. He's cleaning up as he goes, right? So, but yeah, I think it's part because, you know, it is still part of the job. You can't just jump on the next job and leave a mess behind you because then everybody's impacted.
My great friend, Matt Fonslow, who of course has a podcast on the Aftermarket Radio Network, has a show coming out. It's going to be Wednesday, the 23rd, and this will probably air later. He talks about comparing chefs in a restaurant to our industry. And one of the things that he brought up, guys, was watching those cooking shows and watching young novice chefs compete against a master, and to watch the master clean up as he goes, what they could do in an hour, it took the chef, the professional chef, 20 minutes to do because of his disciplines, his level of knowledge, his training. I guess it takes a lot of years to understand how spices and everything work together. Same thing in our industry. He noticed one of the things that they did a lot was clean up as they went. That's not a bad process to have, guys.
No, it's actually...
We do that. We clean as we go, just like if they make a big mess at the end of that job, they're going to stop, they're going to clean it, they're going to wash their bay. Well, then now that we're getting better at all that, the end of the day comes and they're excited because they don't have to clean the floors, everything's put away, they might have a couple tools, but instead of spending the last half hour cleaning, they spend that last half hour getting ready for their job first thing in the morning. So they get that car pulled in for the morning. They get all their parts, their tools laid out. So when they come in, they're ready to start.
So I'm listening to this, and I'm a shop owner, and I'm loving this. We can do this. Is it really hard to start and complicated? Or you just got to, no matter, you have to read something? Where'd you guys get your motivation?
I've always been an organized person. Walking in the back and seeing stuff everywhere and watching guys run around for tools. I said, it's crazy.
So this was an evolution of how you're built, Christy. And you basically had to say, listen, I'm this high conformity organized person, and you've got to drag your techs who may not be through this. But they saw something brilliant in it.
Yeah. And a lot of it is, you know, simple things that happen in every shop. Somebody left an air hose and somebody else tripped over it, or somebody didn't put their scrap away. And now you got two techs mad at each other. Well, now they, instead of coming to me and yelling or yelling at each other, there's accountability. As soon as this comes off the car, it goes here. As soon as we know we don't need it for the customer, it goes here. And it's just peaceful. Like, I had somebody over at my shop the other day. I took them in the back and they said, oh, did you tell everyone I was coming? It's so quiet back here. And I said, no, it's how it normally is. You know, there's no need to yell and scream. Once they see that, it makes it easier. And again, it doesn't happen overnight. You start with one small step and then you go from there.
One small step, oil change, perfect place to start. Kareem, it's exciting to have seen your spaghetti chart and the buy-in from your people. And Christy, you've done that a long time ago. How do we get buy-in, and how often do you have to continue to visit the same process to see if we are in conformity?
The leadership, number one. You can't expect your staff to do that, because you want them to be efficient. You want to provide them the environment to be efficient. So that's kind of your responsibility to follow through. You ask, how do you get the buy-in? I think the buy-in is, let's do an experiment, guys. Let's do an experiment. Let's take the oil change. Let's just give ourselves, whatever, 2-3 months, and let's see if the progress is there. And if you see it, then, you know, we got 3, 4, 5 big other categories of jobs we could apply it to. And so, but you got to get a win. This is not, and like Christy said, it's not overnight. It's going to take some time, but it's got to be a journey that the leadership of the company is willing to invest in. Just like I always say, would you forego your marketing plan any given month? Probably no. Well, this is the same thing. You have to have the same approach to this. You have to be disciplined, and you have to have some frequency to not only implementing the new things and making sure that the staff is doing the new things the right way. So follow up and teach them how and reinforce. But you also have to look back at what you already done and maybe take some feedback and say, hey, guys, how about that first process we worked on? What do you think? Anything that we could change? And you'd be surprised. Sometimes a lot of the guys don't even want to say anything until you ask them and give them the opportunity to say something. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, this and this and this. And then all I can think of in the back of my head is, why didn't you say so earlier? You know, but they will gladly follow you if you are showing them a path which for them is a path of least resistance, right? Which is an organized path that allows them to have a drama-free environment, safe environment that is productive.
Why do I think this is the next big thing? You know, what's going on in your 20 groups? I mean, are they listening to you guys chat with them and say, you got to be doing this? I mean, our guys, we don't have time for that. We're just so busy. But maybe not realize that there's greater degrees of profitability and access to more valuable. You guys, that's all you do is sell time. Wouldn't it be cool if we could find more time in the day by becoming lean? So I think accepting and adopting this lean as the next big thing in our industry, like KPI management, like good financial controls, it's got to be in the top five.
I think you're right there. You know, like the 20 group I'm part of, everyone in there is working on it. And we just did some stuff to get employee buy-in, make the employees part of it. But like Kareem said, if the leadership isn't a part of it, then it's really hard to get your guys. You can't just dump this on your techs and say, here, I want to do this, figure it out. You got to be with them every step of the way. But we do, you know, our business is selling time. And as things progress, I see it going more and more labor versus parts. You know, everybody's seen that change coming, and I know that's a whole nother show. But with that being said, when it comes down to that, we need to save those minutes, because those minutes do turn into those hours, and those hours are producing our dollars. Even if it's 10 seconds you're saving on each job, 20 seconds, a minute, it doesn't matter. It all adds up. And all that adds up to time, and time adds up to money. And with the buy-in, you know, there's guys that have done things where they tell their techs, hey, if we can cut this much time off of this, then, you know, I'll give you a spiff for this or whatever. But a lot of my guys, it's like a game to them. So let's beat the game.
That was a great last word, Christy. Thank you so much. So well said. Buy-in, incentives, the realization that we can actually, it's what we really do is we sell time. And the more time we can add to the clock, the better it is for all of us. Happier customers, happier people, the right profits, the growth of the company. Love that piece. Kareem, I'm going to give you the last word. What do you want to say that you haven't so far?
I wanted to add to Christy, you know, I didn't get this from my 20 group. I'm not part of the 20 group right now. I got this from basically looking at where we're headed. And this is the first time for me. I've never operated in inflationary times. More importantly, we have a really hard time in our sector like many others, but it feels like we are particularly hit here with recruiting. And so, you know, I want to make sure that my guys are not burnt out, worn out. They're being kept safe and they're able to work and be as productive as they can. And also for me, because it's inflationary times, I don't necessarily believe that increasing my prices and my costs is going to be the end solution to my profitability. I think I have to look in deep inside my operations and squeeze everything that I can out without making my team members' lives worse. That's the point. You know, I'm not interested in driving a slave ship. I'm interested in having fun while we're doing this. But you can have fun, be organized, highly efficient, and produce more with the same, you know, means of production.
This was a really, really good podcast episode for the industry. I think I picked two of our great leaders who believe in lean. And, you know, Christy, she's deep in it. And Kareem, you're hovering over her.
I'm going to call you, Christy.
You got it. Feel free.
Kareem, you're going to go home and move the sugar bowl tonight. I know.
Already done.
Thank you so much, Christy Hudson from Troy Auto Care in Troy, Michigan. 3-store operation with husband Donnie. Great guy. And Kareem Morsley, Winkler Automotive Service in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Lean Six Sigma. I think it's the next big thing. It's take some great pointers from this show and start implementing. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.